y'all. Welcome to class. This is White Homework, the podcast about race, racism, and restorative justice. I'm Tori. Today we are talking to musician, speaker, and podcaster Janice Legata about a very cool Black history story that you were probably not taught in school. I'm super excited. This is also a very different format for the show. So if you like it and want us to keep trying this, or if you don't like it and think it sucks, if you're listening in the Spotify app, there's a little place for you to leave feedback. Please let me know if you like it, because I don't want to keep trying this if nobody's into it. Okay, let's get started. Janice, thank you so much for agreeing to be on White Homework with me, going on this little journey. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. And I'm excited. Thank you. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited too. For everybody listening, I'm doing a little experiment here, and Janice has agreed to be test subject number one. And I'm hoping that it's awesome. I guess you guys will tell me if it's not. Also, Janice will probably tell me if it's not. That's fine, right? Cool. So, Janice, do you know about Mary Bowser? Mary Richards Bowser?
I only know a teeny tiny bit.
Okay.
And only just because you mentioned the name and I just didn't want to come in completely blind.
Okay.
So, okay. But I didn't.
Yeah. All right. Didn't do any deep dives. None of that.
No.
Okay. Cool. That is really exciting, actually. So before we get started, I just want to point out really quickly for people listening, there are a lot of like myths sort of floating around Mary's legacy. And there are some really incredible historians and authors that are doing some good work trying to like uncover more of her story and what she accomplished. I think also that her story is really incredible without any of the embellishment that some people have added. So, you know, if you're willing to do like a little bit of poking around, figuring out the context she lived in, all of those things. Specifically, I just want to give a bunch of credit to Lois Levine, who did a ton of work like separating documented fact from historical fiction. Apparently, she spent many, many years researching Mary's life in order to write a book, which as of right now does not appear to be out. But if she does publish it, I'm going to buy a copy because Mary's story is very cool. So, okay, Janice, I have terrible news. We are going back in time.
Oh, God.
I know. It's bad. It's bad. We are going back to a beautiful but sweltering Sunday in Richmond, Virginia. Unfortunately for you and me, it is the 1840s.
Oh, well, yeah. How far back are we going?
We're going real, still far back.
Be like, okay. But the 18, yeah. If there's an 18in front of
If there's an 18, it's bad. It's bad news. I'm so sorry. So it's hot. It's humid. It's sweaty. It's a Sunday. So the birds are singing and you can probably, I don't know, hear some insects. And horses like pulling carriages and wagons being driven on the road. Everybody's going to church. It probably smells like dogwood trees and warm horse droppings. So I have a question. How would you like to, as we go on our little journey today, how would you like to disguise ourselves? Big fancy hats, riding horses, like fake manumission papers so that we're just free. How are we doing this?
Yeah. Well, okay. So it's a Sunday and this is 1840.
46.
So pre-Civil War.
Pre the big old war. Yeah.
So Sundays, slaves day off. So we're going to our church.
Yes.
I guess I'll throw on a hat. I definitely want some papers.
Yes.
Actually, no, maybe I'll, cause I don't, this is already an uncomfortable setting. I don't really want to be in a dress. So.
Oh, in case we need to run.
Yeah. It's not a church hat. So maybe I'm going like dressed like an outside farm worker, overalls and maybe a cap. Put all up on a cap.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, that's a good. I like it. This is a good outfit. Okay, I guess we're not really teaching, this in schools anymore. But Virginia used to be a slaver state, so that means that Mary and Janice and Tori, not super popular folks. Virginia intentionally made it really difficult to free enslaved people. Free Black people had to carry manumission papers or like freedom papers saying that they weren't owned by anybody or they would just be put in jail and then sold to someone, I'm sure. Super messed up system. Yeah. So there is a tale of one Black Virginian who had himself nailed into a box and shipped to some abolitionists in Philadelphia. If you want to know how great things are going for people. But we're not putting ourselves in boxes today. We're going to go. We're going to stand under a big tree in front of a three-story mansion on Grace Street, Richmond. It's a pretty house. It's got a big curved double staircase that goes up to big double doors on the second floor. So, you know, traditional Southern home. And this particular Sunday, out of the big house, walks a youngish white woman and an older white woman and a tiny little black girl wearing a floor-length white dress. Okay. This little black girl is Mary, who certainly lives somewhere on the property or very nearby, probably in, you know, what were called slaves' quarters, which were just drafty sheds where people slept on the floor. We used nice words for things that were awful.
Well, I'm sure some of your listeners probably will have seen some of these at a wedding or two they may have attended in the recent
cringe
past. So,
yeah, the recent past or the recent future, whatever.
In the recent past, present, and future.
Yeah. So today, Mary is all gussied up. So somebody like gives her a bath, does her hair, helps her get into this long, white, ridiculous gown. So baby girl, all that, walks out onto the front porch. And obviously you and I are standing there in our disguises so nobody can see us. And this little baby just walks out like looking like she just, you know, came out of a fairy tale. The women standing on the porch are Miss and Mrs. Van Loo. They're longtime Richmond residents and some of the wealthiest residents in the city. And some of that is from actual work. Some of that is from slavery. They were a mixed bag. Unbeknownst to their high society neighbors, they are also secretly abolitionists. So the three ladies walk a few blocks to church. Everybody is probably overheating because you know how white folks have this insistence on like dressing in ways that are not conducive to like the climate and environments where they're colonizing people. So like it probably smells gross. I got to be honest. I'm sure that people are like pouring sweat. So the church probably also doesn't smell great. I don't know. All of us going to the same destination. This is St. John's Church in Richmond, which is that place that a white man once stood and said, "Give me liberty or give me death," when he only meant liberty for people with his specific body configuration. So
I said me, right?
That was right, me. None of you fuckers. We do not care, however, about people who say they want liberty when they just mean for themselves. So whatever. We go from the sweltering outside to probably the sweltering inside. This place is just lousy with wealthy white Virginians, which is everybody's favorite kind of company to keep. So, you know, great, great energy. We're going to sit in the back, in the very back, because I think that's wise. I don't think we're even supposed to be here, to be honest.
Is there a balcony? Because we might need to.
Yeah, we might need to go upstairs where it's hotter. Mrs. Van Loo and Elizabeth Van Loo and Mary sit near the front. Church starts. Episcopalians love to sing. So we're singing some off-key hymns with the whites. Janice, can you give me a hymn that we're singing today? Old-timey hymn.
Ooh. There is a bomb in Gilead.
There we go. Perfect. I'm gonna sing the alto part, so we're gonna have a good time. At some point they decide to do baptism. I don't know what order Episcopalian church services go in. Thankfully for Mary, Episcopalians do baptism by splashing you in the face three times and then maybe pouring oil on you that the priest has already blessed, so nobody's getting dunked, which again makes a lot of sense because it's the 1840s and there's not a lot of dunking women's bodies in water because girls are gross.
That would not be good for Mary's hair.
No, it would not. Absolutely. Also, girls are gross. So, this is the first time that there's any real documentation of Mary Richards Bowser Denman. She went by a lot of different names ever existing. And yeah, I guess it was very odd for a white woman to have a slave baptized in her church. So it seems like Mary was actually treated pretty well, given the circumstances. She is, of course, like on paper, technically the property of the Van Loo estate, which is Not great. However, again, these people are secretly abolitionists living in the South. Elizabeth went to school in Philadelphia, and it seems like she was really exposed to a lot of abolitionist, I was going to say abolitionist theory, like critical abolition theory. I don't know what I'm talking about. It's fine, whatever.
Yeah, they were definitely working on banning that from all the schools.
It was illegal. It was illegal. Okay, so yeah, they succeeded. There was no critical abolition theory being taught in schools at this time. Yeah.
That's CAT. Get it out of here.
Oh my gosh, Ron DeSantis, not a fan. So Elizabeth lives with her mother, who is currently widowed. Elizabeth's father died a few years before, and they just seem to have taken like this very specific interest in Mary and offered Mary a lot of opportunities that just were not ever afforded to enslaved people at that time. Again, despite being like a Virginia socialite and having a lot of connections, and like I said, her father, I'm sure his name was John. John Van Loo started several businesses and then started buying people. Not the move, John, but okay,
Oh,
what are we
as you
gonna,
do.
as you
What
do. It was aspirational to own people
you
back
trying to
then,
keep up
like,
with the Van Joneses?
yes, exactly. I feel very salty, however, when folks say that their ancestors were abolitionists, because I'm just like, saying that in the South could get you killed.
Right.
You didn't even have to say that. Like, if people accused you of having like sympathy for an abolitionist cause, you would get death threats. Like, this was not, I feel some sort of way about people who are like, oh, well, my ancestors were obviously abolitionists. I'm like, did they die for
Yeah,
that? Because,
gonna need to see some death certificates and
yeah, some receipts.
paper articles for those.
Okay. So, Virginia, as you probably know, Janice, incredibly, incredibly racist, to the fact where educated Black people are not allowed to live in Virginia, like, period, because educated Black people scare white supremacists. So the state of Virginia is just full of all these laws constraining what Black people who are enslaved or free can do, where they can exist. Obviously, there's a whole separate set of laws for Black folks. And so Mary gets a little bit older, and Elizabeth, being one of the good guys, I would say, decides to send her up north to go to school. Some of Elizabeth's descendants say it was Philadelphia. That makes some sense to me, because that's where Elizabeth went to school. So she kind of like, she goes off, she does that. She comes back many years later. And yeah, now she knows how to like read and write and do maths and stuff. So she isn't legally allowed to be in Virginia. So this is not great. This is not a great little system we have here. Little Black girl, too educated, being able to read makes the whites uncomfy. It's almost like they knew what they were doing was wrong. Janice, do you know anything about the American Colonization Society?
That's like an actual.
It's like an actual thing.
I don't. I mean, I can imagine. I feel
Right?
like.
It's pretty easy to imagine.
But if that's an actual thing, I will say, wow, it's refreshing that they actually call the thing a thing.
Right, I know. Like, I can at least respect that you are going to say what you're going to do and then do that thing instead of pretending that like you're nice people or whatever. The American Colonization Society was founded a few decades before we are now, 1816. It was just a whole slew of the whites mainly, you know. So ministers, business people, politicians, slavers all over the country. They tried to like come together and form a colonized society for people of color from the United States. Not in the United States, from the United States. The driving force of the American Colonization Society was not rooted in liberation. It was rooted in expulsion. Anti-racist abolitionists hated the American Colonization Society and they thought it was bullshit. I agree. Racist abolitionists fucking loved it. They were like, this is great. Let's get as many of these people out of here as we possibly can. But the society was created for white folks to, air quotes, benevolently expel Black people from the United States and send them back to Africa, because they can't not just move people around whenever they feel like it, apparently. A lot of Black people thought this was kind of bullshit, especially Black people in free states. I can see how if like you lived in Virginia or Georgia, you might give it a second glance, maybe. it might seem like an improvement from where you are now. I'm going to read you a couple of choice excerpts of some peak white nonsense that was written up about a specific American society, American Colonization Society meeting in Albany, New York.
Oh, hey, New York. Yay.
I know, it's great. Things are going to go great. So the quote, innocents had profited from, quote, the blessings of our art, our civilization, and our religion, end quote. It's so bad, Janice. It's so bad.
Wish I st still was not allowed to know how to read.
I know. It's wild, wild. So basically, the ACS concludes that such an endeavor, meaning forcibly removing free Black people from America, would, quote, extinguish a great portion of that moral debt owed to enslaved people. Like, here, go back and live in the bush. Ta-da, we fixed it.
Fixed it.
Now we're even. This is great.
But again, a little bit of credit for
Being
admitting
honest.
there is a moral debt.
That's true. That is much farther than most people ever made it. That is an excellent point. So again, in case it wasn't clear, for clarity, ACS included its benevolence. The reason that the ACS existed was to, quote, rid our country of a useless and pernicious portion of its population, end quote. So they're bad guys, just in case that's not clear. So there are a few Black Americans that support the ACS, mainly people who want to go back to Africa, which is totally valid, because if somebody else is going to pay your way back, like, why wouldn't you take it? For the most part, I think that it was largely an endeavor in, like, woke racism. It's like, it's still the separate but equal sort of nonsense. It's documented that the ACS purchases like a 5,000 square mile tract of land that's now Liberia.
Like, is this, yeah, is this Liberia? Is this where we're
Who did they purchase this from?
you can't do that.
I don't think that, like, USD is legal tender.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening? Where did you? Okay, I couldn't find an answer to that. Maybe there's an answer and
And
I'll stumble across
this
it.
never happened. They just said, yeah, we totally bought this land.
From whomst?
How else could we have gotten it?
I mean, there's always God. God always gives people land, it seems like, that maybe doesn't
He
belong to
always buy land.
them. So, yeah, this has been going on for a while, many, many years, before, like, long before Mary was born. Either, like, Elizabeth thought that sending Mary off to Liberia to be a missionary to indigenous people of that area would be a good idea, or Mary thought that maybe going somewhere where she actually would have some freedom sounded nice. Don't know which one it was, but between the two of them, they decided that maybe it was worth an attempt. So, Christmas Eve, 1855, at the ripe old age of 14, Mary gets on a boat to Monrovia, Liberia. Sadly, Janice, we have to go with her on a boat that does not have a motor across the Atlantic. So, definitely bring your diva cup because it's going to be rough. This is hard times.
Not gonna be.
Yes.
This is.
Well, this is what Jay Jordan refers to as suspicious sea voyages.
Yeah. Ugh,
No
yeah.
thanks. I think I'm good. I think I'm good. And I gotta say also, like, all of the love to our Liberian siblings and whatever, but the name Monrovia is abusive. And I want to start a GoFundMe to change the name of that town because it's so bad. I hate it.
The whole thing, Liberia. Like,
Well, it's like fake liberty, right?
yeah,
That's what
like,
is like.
100%. That's so American. That is
Oh.
not, no.
No, thanks. Not here for it. Monrovia was named after President James Monroe, which. One of the original founding fathers who signed the Declaration of Independence when he was 18 years old.
Man, we operate just at extremes. Now I would love for 18-year-olds to be able to like craft government documents and but They're like, no, we're trying to make sure people who lived during the Civil War are still in power as much as possible.
Yes.
Like,
Yes. I'm
bring
just
us
like,
the oldest white man you can find.
just like, I think that we call them the founding fathers, so no one knows that they were the founding children. I
Founding
think that
boys.
that's like the founding boys.
Boys, the founding boys.
Oh my God, I can't. I can't. Yes. So we're now on a ship. Virginia, pretty cold, pretty chilly in December. Liberia, not so much. January in Liberia, average high of 88 degrees. So pretty toasty for the dead of winter, I would say. So we get off the ship finally in Monrovia, and we find ourselves somehow in this tiny black Southern American town that just happens to be on the continent of Africa in this fake ass country at the time called Liberia. It's interesting. It's like bad news and also really fascinating in terms of like, I don't know, anthropology or whatever.
But it's also, I mean, because I don't, I know enough about Liberia to know that like it lives in the back of my mind as a reminder that yes, the oppressed can become the oppressor and will without intervention because all you know how to do is what was done to you. And so, yeah, you send these black people over here, but they have been Americanized. And so then they, yeah. Turn around and abuse the indigenous population. So it's the worst of the circle of life.
I know, it's almost like hierarchy is just a shitty idea and doesn't work great. Don't love it. So we disembark. It's abusively hot, obviously, in January. It's muggy. The place is swarming with mosquitoes who are just having an absolute field day because fresh blood off the
Ooh.
boats. I'm thinking probably you should breathe through your little hanky to keep from inhaling any mosquitoes. It's just a real bad time over there. So Monrovia, we discover as we're walking towards our little check-in spot at the American Colonization Society building, has these like massive avenues that are like lined with palm trees. So, you know, there's a little bit of shade. And again, it smells like jasmine and salt water and probably warm horse droppings. Like that's
Always,
just
of course.
the smell until car fumes. It's just horse shit always. There are green vines growing over literally everything. All of the houses look like they were picked up from like Savannah, Georgia, and just shipped intact across the Atlantic Ocean, right? The town is full of English-speaking, American-dressing black folks and like a smattering of white folks. It's basically like Africa getting to cosplay being the American South, which is like the worst thing I can imagine. It's like, we're so bad that we're gonna force you to pretend that you love us. Like, of
Yeah.
course, the missionaries, like all Christian missionaries, think that they're just being these like generous emissaries coming to Africa from the West. And again, it's like colonizer brain, and anybody can have it. Doesn't really matter where you're from. It sucks, but it's true.
Your brain. This is your brain on colonization.
There are a few thousand settlers. That's such a nice name for people who do murdering for a living. Most of them are black, as I said. A few of them are white. At least for the first several decades, the white people have like some authoritarian kind of control over this little colony.
No.
I know, I know. As best as I can tell, they didn't try to abuse the black people that were there, and eventually, like the leadership became black. You know, the leadership becomes black, and I think like the maybe 1870s. Indigenous Liberians are not allowed to vote until 1951. It's just bad. Bad news. It's almost like missionary work is just colonization. This little colonial government called the Colonial Council claims to have authority over the population of indigenous Africans on this 5,000 square mile tract of land that the US bought from someone we don't know who, despite never having seen any of these people. Like, this is sort of like, you know, Europeans come over from Europe and they just claim ownership over like all of the indigenous people.
The indigenous people were looking at you like, did you sell the
What does that even mean?
Who's in charge here?
Did
They're like,
you know who? You can own this stuff? What are you talking about? So, yeah, Monrovia, good old time. Basically, there's two professions available, teacher and missionary. Janice, which one are
Amen.
you choosing?
Well, I'm gonna have to go with teacher. Even though I'm probably teaching in the little Christian missionary school,
Yeah,
but
probably.
I'll do my best.
Okay, I gotta be honest, I'm gonna do the missionary shit. And let me tell you why. I love wandering around in the jungle. If you ever hear that I like died of being bitten by a poisonous snake, like somewhere in the jungle, like please know that that is the truth. That is how I left this world. So I would just do that. And then I would just come back and like tell the ACS, like, oh yeah, I found this little tribe of people and I converted like 40 souls this week. And I don't know how to find them again. How would I know that? They don't stay in one spot. And I would just, I just hike. That would be my day job. So Mary's obviously doing one of these two jobs. I can only assume either Mary was getting some sort of a stipend from the ACS or she was being sponsored by Elizabeth. Most likely she taught school because that's what she did after the Civil War ended. But again, we don't know a whole lot, so we've got to infer some things from the context. But Mary's probably teaching little kids, either as a teacher or a missionary in Monrovia. And that doesn't go great, as you can imagine. I don't know why this wouldn't go great. It's so clear. It's God's will for your life. So many of the Black missionaries got back to Africa and then died of malaria, which is like, I feel like that's God's judgment on you for being a missionary.
He said, "Well done. Come on home."
Okay, even the white people though, like they fared worse than the Black people because they don't have that whatever the genetic variant that makes it so that you were less likely to die of malaria. So they're having a hard time. They also still cannot figure out how to wear clothing that is appropriate for the environment they find themselves colonizing in. When they are like on their little colonizing sleepovers, they're still wearing like wool suits. Whole endeavor is basically just a clusterfuck with a really pretty face on it. And yeah, so for the first several decades of the American Colonization Society, there was no real distinction between like European American like social norms and Christianity. Like those were seen as basically the same thing. And there was this expectation initially that like the indigenous African folks would just like have to start dressing and acting and behaving and marrying and child rearing in the way that like white people in the United States did in order to be true Christians.
Can I just say I'm so glad that changed?
Yeah.
And it's nothing like that today.
Well, once Black people got into like actual leadership, it seems like that did start to change pretty quickly. And I do also understand that technically like Christianity is not the white man's religion, but holy shit, like Christianity is so the white man's religion at this point, right? It's like
Missional Christianity, 100% white religion.
There we go. There we go. Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, good for the indigenous people. They were not very interested in this nonsense and mostly didn't participate. Because, again, you're making me go from clothing that is appropriate for 88 degrees and 90% humidity to like wearing wool petticoats. Like, I'm not interested in that, sir, ma'am. No. There was initially a little bit of interest. It was mostly curiosity, right? And it kind of fell off. So this has been going on for a minute. And after a few years of teaching, Mary just like comes to the realization that actually she hates it here. And she calls Elizabeth and she's like, please come pick me up. This sucks. So.
And by calls, this is like letters going by boats. So that has to take a while.
Yeah, real long time. Many, many months to get a letter from Monrovia to Richmond. But Elizabeth, immediately, it seems like, pays Mary's fare for her to come back. And so she packs up and she heads back across the ocean to Virginia.
Got back on a boat.
Make it make sense. You know how bad it has to be? If you're gonna get back on a fucking boat and go back across the Atlantic Ocean.
If you're like, you know what I kind of miss? That slave state.
I know. This is literally what I'm thinking like the whole time I'm researching this. I'm like, how bad must this have been if you want to go back to a state where you are illegal, like you're not allowed to be a resident? I don't know. It's now 1860. Things are getting a little heated. Mary can't really legally be in this state because she's got an education. So obviously there's no record of this, but like as soon as I heard this story, I was immediately like, oh my God, what happens when she gets back? Like, does Mary like sit down and Elizabeth is just like, okay, what are we gonna do with you? Like, we have to figure something out because just like her walking around was considered illegal, and she actually like got arrested for it, and put in jail for about a week. And Elizabeth was issued a citation for letting her slave wander free without permission. Okay, here's another thing. This is not in my notes. This is completely off script, but something I think about a lot is like the amount of time and energy and resources and capital that went into like policing these dumb ass laws for no reason.
So, and then again, that's how you know that these people knew what they were doing was because, like, who are you writing these laws for? If I'm not allowed to learn how to read, why are you putting this on the books? I'm never going to see this. Who is this for? Why do you guys have this much time to devise things like this? Because on one hand, you're saying, well, these aren't people. These are just animals. So show me the book, the law that says, do you cannot teach your cow to read? If we catch your house cat with a book, it is curtains for you.
I
You
know.
knew these were people who were just as smart, just as capable, who could be free human beings, productive members of even your society, and you just
You're like,
couldn't.
nope.
So.
Yeah. Oh, I think about that a lot. I'm like, the administrative state necessary to maintain like authoritarianism is just obscene and so wasteful. Anyway, that's just my thoughts, you know.
And again, glad that's changed today. You know, we
It's not even a little bit like that today.
definitely don't have people, you know, just going out of their way to make trans laws and, you know, stuff. Trans isn't real, it doesn't exist, but also we're going to legislate it away. Like, okay, healthcare would be nice. But you don't have time for that. I get it. I get it. You got other things to do. So.
Like, would love for my kids to not get shot at school. There's a law you could think about, maybe. I don't know. Yeah,
You're like, no time, no time.
we don't have the time. We don't have the resources. I'm so sorry. We gotta go. We gotta go back to our slave catching ways. So, okay. So, yeah. Basically, within months of Mary and you and me getting back, South Carolina decides to be a little shit. Issues the Ordinance of Secession and becomes the first state in the Confederacy. Of course, states, including Texas, are not allowed to secede. Texas, you need to get off that bullshit. It is not true. Like, I'm so sorry that they teach you lies in your schools, but it's not true. You cannot leave the Union. Not allowed. Anyway, South Carolina tries it in December of 1860. And yeah, basically a couple months later, April, after they had to wait for winter to end because like doing war in the wintertime is not fun, right? So they had to wait a few months. First shots are fired at Fort Sumter in South Carolina, which is like the official start of the Civil War. So Elizabeth is probably having tea with her friend Verena, her friend down the road. About a mile away, Verena mentioned something about, you know, needing a little slave girly because hers is going to a farm upstate or something. That's not true. The farm upstate part is a lie. I don't know why this happened.
Like that sounds like parents explaining to their kids like what happened to the family dog.
Oh.
from upstate. He's
No,
living it.
the thing is, like, but Verena wouldn't send anyone upstate because upstate is free people land, so that wouldn't have happened. Elizabeth mentions, just sort of in passing, that she knows an excellent little servant girl who would be a good fit for whatever Verena is looking for. Again, I got so stuck on this. Imagine how this must have gone down. Elizabeth, like, calls you in and is like, "Hey, I know you haven't actually ever done any slavery, but like, is it too late to give it a try? What do you say? I know a guy who could use some good spying on." But for real, I like so badly want to know if like Elizabeth sat Mary down and was like, "Here's the deal. I'm sending you down the river," or if it was more like, "Oh my God, I have the craziest idea. Do you want to hear this? Janice, you are Mary. Elizabeth, your white mom comes in from some little like Confederate ladies' luncheon and says, do you want to go undercover as a slave? What are your thoughts?"
Well, what are my options? Like,
Again, excellent question.
I'm literally too smart for my own good. Estate. I already tried Africa, didn't like it. And so I don't know. I guess I'm game for whatever.
Whatever. So obviously we have no idea what this conversation was like, but I would give anything to be a fly on the wall in the Van Loo mansion when this happens. Like, sign me up. I want to know what this conversation was like. So from what I could find, it seems like the historical records indicate something that like Mary does this little like slavery trial run. Like she goes to this house down the road and does like a few stints as a temp, like a slave temp at Verena and Jefferson's plantation house, otherwise known as the Confederate White House. So basically, at some point, the war starts April, May 1861. For whatever reason, the Confederate capital moves from Montgomery, Alabama to Richmond, like a mile down the road from where Elizabeth lives. I would say, given the context, I would say that this was fortunate for Elizabeth and Mary. Let me explain. So being about a mile from the Confederate White House means that the fighting didn't really center around Richmond at any point till like the very end of the war. Which means that like the disruptions to like the standard of living because of the war, which were very intense for like poor people, obviously, were pretty minimal for like high society ladies, right? As wars go. For
Another
the
thing, thank God, has changed.
I know nothing is like that now. Just as wars go, for the first couple of years, it kind of works out. Fuck knows how all of this happens, but Mary somehow passes her like slave girl bar exam and is like accepted into whatever for Dear Leader Jefferson Davis. And like this is where I become fucking terrified because how the fuck do you pretend that you cannot read? Like my heart rate goes up just thinking about this. Like I would blow my cover so fast and like not even realize it.
And that's exactly why I never learned.
Oh my God. Yeah, I mean, I guess they were kind of thinking like, man, if enslaved people learn how to read, then they're gonna read about how slavery is wrong, and we can't have that. So, anyway.
But I wonder if, like, yes, okay, the government people, they're making these laws and they're legislating, blah, 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 whatever. But then the people on the ground, the people who actually have slaves and whatever, like a lot of them probably genuinely believe these, they're not people, first of all, but they're not that smart. They can't. So Mary could probably sit right in their faces and just read things, and it would never even occur to them that she could. Like it's that subtle racism of lowered expectations, like it wouldn't, it's not even a thought in their head.
No. Completely agreed. And that really seems to be what happened. So I don't actually know really if she was like specifically made for like Jefferson Davis's wife all of the time, or if she was like, I don't know, more of like a slave Jill of all trades or something. Like, I don't know what shenanigans specifically she got up to. Obviously, this is just, you know, the nature of spycraft, alas. What historians do agree on is that old Jeff becomes apoplectic at how many of his plans are leaking out the minute he says them. He is fucking racking his brain trying to figure out which one of his like inner circle pro-slavery tech bros is actually in with the union, right? Like he cannot. Meanwhile, Mary's sneaky little ass is like crawling around secret sessions of the Confederate Congress. Like she is getting info. She is taking it back to Elizabeth. One story I heard but couldn't verify was that Mary would like write these teensy tiny messages on tiny pieces of paper and then like sew the paper into the seams of a dress and take that dress to the seamstress where Elizabeth would go pick up the dress and like tear the hem out and like pull the notes out and then send the message along, which is kind of amazing. I love that. That is great. We do know for sure that like Mary is doing all kinds of spying. And Elizabeth is also like not fucking around. She is getting all kinds of crafty. She is making invisible ink. She is making decoder rings. She is putting messages into empty eggshells and then taking them into like the POW prison. She's helping Union soldiers escape by like getting them transferred to the hospital where they can like run away. She's putting some of them up at her house even so they can like get out of Virginia. So obviously, like this is going on for a while, and like Jefferson Davis does not figure it out.
Because why would he? How, like,
How would he?
wouldn't even occur to him. Like, there are probably white men, soldiers, who, like, probably got taken out because he's like, no, this is like, you, I know you're the werewolf. It's you. Get him out of here. Because it was literally only me and him in this room.
There were
Thank
no
God.
other people around.
No other people.
Oh my God. It's wild. And this whole circus is going on for like years, obviously, because, you know, the Civil War was a few years. I guess they took winter break off, but other than that, they were kind of going at it. And like during that time in the press in Richmond, people are like, okay, but who is this bitch? Like they are writing Elizabeth up in the paper for feeding Union POWs, which, like, it's the war of the century in your own backyard, but you have like the time and energy and paper and ink to write about a lady who isn't acting right because she's feeding prisoners? Like, again, the amount of energy that goes into maintaining these like bullshit social hierarchies is just, oh, that's a lot.
And again, we live in such different times.
I know so many things have changed. It's amazing. We just learn from our mistakes and keep going. Keep it moving. Janice, do you have any thoughts about the Civil War? Would you like to share them?
Civil War. Well, let's see. I give it 3 out of 5 stars. I like it because it's American and we do everything the best.
Yeah, even our civil wars are the best. Absolutely.
What better opponent could there be for us than us? Right? Like, yes, we fight everyone else everywhere all the time, but it's just not, we have to do that because it just, you know, it's not enough. So the ultimate opponent is us. So
Yeah.
there's that. It was fought over slavery. That's but it's also like, you know, Lincoln gets all this credit for freeing the slaves or whatever, but then they have his clear writings where he's like, if I could end this war without freeing them, I would. But if I have to free them all, I also would. If I only had to free something, like he's not our hero. He was not our champion. Like, this war was fought over us, but then we were also just this, we were just collateral. We were just,
Yeah, commodities. It's like an
So,
oil war, but with people.
with people again,
Again.
can't imagine because the world has changed so much. Yeah, so it happened. It wasn't great, but also was needed and also didn't work, but
Didn't
also,
work great.
yeah, I don't know. So it's again, three out of 5 stars.
That seems like a really high score for a war. I like it. So my fun, not fun, really sad, really embarrassing, really we're number one sort of fun fact about the Civil War is that white people do not learn not to poop in their drinking water until the 20th century, basically. So most of the folks who died in the war died of getting the shits from drinking poop water. And that's like disgusting. But it's also true. Like you can go and look it up. So there were about 600,000 deaths during the, I don't know, War of Northern Aggression against states explicitly breaking federal law or whatever. Half of these deaths were the result of pooping yourself to death. Like
But again, right? Our only up worthy opponent is us. And really, like, right down to your own body and your own shit. If I can't conquer that, then it's not a real victory.
People figured this out like thousands of years earlier, and like white people are like, no, it needs to be the 1900s before we stop pooping in our drinking water, you guys. Oh, I was like, I don't see the evidence that this is bad for me. Sure, okay, that's true. It's like I can't see germs, so it's fine. It's sort of like COVID, you just like blast some light into it and you're fine.
You're like, no, it's got to be something else.
Oh man, I just thought that it's to me that is actually really sad. I'm like, people were telling you, like you were being told, poop somewhere else, and you weren't doing it. Like some French dude had to tell George Washington that so that he would make his little army guys, the Continental Army. Some French dude comes over and he's like, you need to make them shit further away. They're shitting in the drinking water.
I'm like, how do you, like, I don't understand. I just don't understand how that just would not occur to you. Like, even if it somehow was fine. Like, oh, I'm reabsorbing these, like, I don't know, like, what, like, that's just so gross. Like, why would you just not want those things far away from each other?
I don't know. It was probably too much work, honestly. I'm like,
But
this is too much labor.
yeah, how bad does everything around you have to smell? You're just like taking shots of poop water, like, this is refreshing.
I really wish that I knew. I don't know, but I wish that I knew. So, yeah, basically, Elizabeth and Mary are like these two little kick-ass spies for like the entirety of the war. And eventually, like Freedom Day, I don't remember what they called it, rolls around. Emancipation Day, whatever. Which was, very much not guaranteed by any means, but definitely like supported by Elizabeth and like Grant, Ulysses S. Grant, when he, I believe it was after he became president, like went and like personally thanked her for everything that she did because it made a big enough difference that he felt like he needed to do that. And it was, again, I don't remember where exactly I got this, but it was claimed that like Elizabeth was basically, after the war was technically won, Elizabeth was like the first person to raise an American flag on her house after the news of the Confederates' defeat. And I'm like, this is the one time that I approve of the American flag being raised.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, that's the one time.
That's it.
I'll let you have that one. And so Mary is now a free lady person, still a lady, so gross, but basically the minute that it is legal, she starts teaching. She's in Richmond for some amount of time, apparently. But she also starts speaking. And so she does this little speaking tour, which is great. And also, like, she would just make up names for herself. So there's not like historians are still trying to piece together like what was and wasn't her. I think she just like kind of had spy brain, which is totally fair. Like your prefrontal cortex is not developed and you're like trying to survive the Confederate White House, pretending you cannot read. I think that like a little paranoia is justified. Yeah. After we don't really know what happens after that. She just kind of like vanishes into the mists, the fogs of history. But I think that her story is really, really cool, really fascinating. And I wish more people knew about it. So thanks for letting me tell you about Mary Richards, Bowser, Denman, all the names that she went by. Whatever name she's going by today, I'll respect it. She's just got to tweet me. Janice, what do you think about this story? I thought it was a lot of fun, obviously.
No, it's an amazing story. It makes me proud of Black women. I mean, always. Anyway, and then it makes me sad and kind of angry because I'm like, oh, like there's so many of these stories, I'm sure, and they've been disappeared. Like it just dis like they've been disappeared. Like there's so much of our history that just hasn't been allowed. So, they pick the few that we're allowed to know about, so you got Harriet Tubman, and then that's it. That's the only Black woman who ever did anything courageous and daring in all of slavery
In
and the
all of
system.
slavery.
Like, that's it. And it's just not true because it also feeds into the narrative that allows white people to pretend that yes, every ancestor was an abolitionist, but also there wasn't really anything to abolish. And also, be happy that we set you free because y'all weren't doing anything. You were just sitting over here waiting to be rescued from nothing because nothing was happening.
I know. We weren't doing anything wrong, but we'll save you from it just in case, just to be
We'll save
the good guys.
Right. And meanwhile, y'all were doing nothing. You were just sitting there taking it. And it's like, no, there are so many Mary Bowsers, I'm sure. And we know of slaves that were poisoning their masters. And like slavery was always an evil, purposeful endeavor that people knew was evil and purposeful. And Black people wanted to be free the whole time, and we're working for that and working towards it. So it's like, you're not, yes, you have people like Elizabeth who are benevolent and trying to do things, but that's the exception. That's not the rule. And meanwhile, it was the rule that most enslaved people wanted not to be enslaved.
Yeah, absolutely. Elizabeth, interestingly, like became a complete like social outcast once it sort of came out what she had done. And so she basically lived the next like 35 years of her life. She never left Richmond, which I personally I can't really figure out why, but yeah, people would just ignore her if she spoke to them. Like people she knew her entire life. People she grew up with. And I was like, oh yeah, like people, they didn't just forgive and forget. Like they were pissed. And
Another thing which has definitely changed, I like, can't relate to that.
Totally.
So yeah, people are very, very, very gracious about changing belief systems and supporting different things. So
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, whenever I change my mind, people are super happy for me.
they
I
love
found
it.
that to be true. Ah, well, Janice, thank you again so much. Do you, if you want to be found somewhere on the internet, where should people find you?
It's for real. We're not spies anymore.
We're not spies anymore. We've retired. The war is now over.
Look for me in Liberia. No, absolutely not. Yeah. Come and find me. You can ask the internet about me at God Has Not Given on Instagram. And yeah, find me there and then you can find me wherever
All the other
else.
places. Alrighty, cool. Yeah, I'm also on the internet and available to be found if people are so inclined. Also, if you want to support the pod, just go to whitehomework.com and all this stuff is right there. And that would be very awesome. Also, definitely go follow Janice and support her work because you have so much like incredible content and like really profound things to say. So I really appreciate you.
Right, I'm no Mary Bowser, but we all got to do our part. Yeah, I think part of my life mission is to, as much as possible, make sure our stories don't go unheard anymore. And like, yeah, the algorithm is always against us, and there are always things still trying to disappear us. But we just got to be out here and stay as much as we can, like. A lot of this will be lost to the ether, but some of it will not.
Some of it will not. Absolutely. I completely agree.
Spies like us.
I have too much anxiety to be a spy, I gotta be honest.
No. Like, because I think as Black women in America, especially coming out of the spaces we did, I'm like, we were spies.
Right.
Been undercover the whole time. Pretend not to be able to see, not to hear, not to notice, not to know the things that we know. Shocking people. We come out later and we're like, actually, this, and this, and I know this, and I was here, and I know this, and I know that. Like, you guys were listening?
I know.
You saw that? You could read the
You
whole
could
time.
read the whole time.
The whole
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That's true. I appreciate you saying that. Cool.
got a little Bowser in you, girl.
Sweet. Aspirational. Thank you so much for taking the time to educate yourself with this episode. If you have thoughts, feedback, or an idea for a show, you can shoot me an email at hello@toriglass.com. If you want free anti-racism tools, you can find those at toriglass.com as well. This show is only possible because of some co-conspirators and patrons. If you want to help create more social justice education, you can pledge your support at www.whitehomework.com. Write a 5-star review or text this episode to a friend. Keep drinking water and fighting racism, and I'll see you next week.